the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I'm delighted to say Alan Quinlan joins us on the line. Morning, Quinny.
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
I'm sure it's been a great week for you after last weekend.
That's a very cynical comment. I know I'm a Munster man, but Saracens are certainly not. They're my least favourite team. So, I was hoping Leinster would win. I didn't want to see Saracens win, but it was disappointing. I think it was gives a bit of a gloomy picture for Ireland going forward with the final Six Nations games in November as well.
Oh, it does. There's a theory from Johnny Watterson in the Irish Times this morning, which is an interesting one, that Leinster are missing a marquee signing. So when we would have looked in the past, like most recently, obviously, for the likes of Ezan Asewa, who was such a strong force there, but going back before that, the Rocky Elsoms, Nathan Hines, Brad Thorne, obviously, in there as well, and maybe a couple of others too. And he also, to be fair, talks about the generational influence of somebody like a Brian O'Driscoll. And that maybe Leinster are missing those, and in the same way that Munster have gone and dipped, maybe that's something Leinster need to do now.
Yeah, it's not the worst idea in the world. I think, Scott Fardy came in, James Lowe, Gibson Park, these guys, two of them are Irish qualified. And maybe their next cycle of signing a few overseas players, they would look to bring in one or two marquee players. I think when you're right up there with being one of the best sides in Europe, if not the best side, I think they had a bad day at the office last week, and they could certainly attract a couple of big overseas signings. But it depends on budgets and how far they want to extend. They have their challenges trying to keep their own academy players and trying to bring them up into full contracts and stuff like that. And you know, I think they used 53 players in the Pro 14 last year. So it's getting that balance right. Do you bring in a couple of guys that eats up some of the budget, and maybe you don't get to sign or promote one or two of the younger players? So promoting younger players in the last couple of years has worked incredibly well for them. But Johnny Watterson is definitely making a valid point that maybe it's time to bring in one or two just to make them even better than what they are. There's no dramatic shift or change needed, because I think their template is the envy of most of Europe, but it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world for sure.
Yeah, like, because I think that we've all looked at Leinster and just felt that, well, like, they're so strong and we've seen the 25 wins in a row, whatever it was, and made a whole bunch of assumptions. Like, I think, like, maybe if a team like that Leinster team need to go down that route, then that's just something that becomes intrinsic as part, like, of Irish rugby. Like, I mean, every other Ireland have done it for years, obviously, and every other club with ambitions and on the planet does it. Maybe it just needs to be a thing that gets bolted into the fabric, into the culture of Irish provinces now. And most of the others have done it. Like, it's been well spoken about the Munster signings and maybe Ulster to a slightly lesser degree. Maybe that's just something we need to make an intrinsic part of Irish rugby now.
I think the other provinces have had to make signings like that to try and improve. As I said, Leinster's depth and the younger players coming through, like, it could affect that situation. But certainly in Europe, when you look at the teams you're coming up against and the quality overseas players they can bring in, Leinster's budget is a big budget for signing. Munster, it's been reported that they got outside help to sign the two South African World Cup winners. So I don't think that'd be a problem for Leinster. As I said, it could affect the situation of the development and the backing of one or two players. But, you know, there doesn't need to be any dramatic shift here. I mean, you know, they could bring in one world-class player in a position, maybe that a player who could play in a couple of positions, like a back three player or an outside back or, you know, a loose forward, come second row or something like that, you know. But I suppose when you look at the depth of Leinster's, and I mean from a depth point of view, international experience and experience of playing top class games, they were lacking a little bit of that last week. And if they have a couple of injuries, maybe it would affect them, and did affect them last weekend. I thought Scott Fardy not being involved was a probably mistake. Tyke Furlong was out injured as well, so they were big losses to them given the power that Saracens had. But when you get into the last couple of rounds or the knockout stages of Europe, you're coming up against teams who have a huge number of overseas signings, and that kind of situation is something maybe Leinster could look at. and maybe look to bring in that quality, because they wouldn't have a problem with attracting any you know, world-class players.
Yeah. Well, look, as much as you'd love to spend the next half hour talking about Leinster's woes, Quinny, we have a couple of other things to put to you, including the
exit. I don't think they have too many woes,
well,
to be honest.
Where Munster's in, maybe not.
A bad 45 minutes last week was what cost them, really.
Come here, Rob Kearney, and like maybe like we talk about the playing staff at Leinster, and it does feel a bit of a like change of the guard with himself, Rob Kearney and Fergus McFadden going out. Like, I mean, it's Devin Toner, Johnny Sexton, Keane Healy are sort of the, maybe the last of that kind of old guard now. From Kearney's point of view, links with the Western Force this morning, we'll see how that plays out. The one thing that's always mentioned, and Brian Driscoll was talking about it with Nathan on the show last night as well, is Enfield, obviously, and the famous talk to effectively calling out the Munster lads. Were you in the room that time?
Yeah, I was. I think it was a big call from him at the time. We were having a review after a fair bit of optimism that November when we played the All Blacks and Canada and Argentina. And I think there was incredible optimism that maybe we could beat the All Blacks. And it just ended up being disappointing. There was a good win against Argentina. And I think Declan Kidney decided to have this get together and try and look for player feedback as to how we can improve and what we needed to do going into the Six Nations. And players were spaced out around tables, and you know, each table had a kind of a leader who would give the feedback, and players would give their opinions, whether it be training, the way we played, what needed to happen, change, all that kind of stuff. And as we went around the tables, there was stuff around, you know, the game plan and the way we trained, the times we trained, the meetings we had, how we could maximise those and make them better. And then, you know, on one table, Rob Kearney steps up and he says that the Munster players are more passionate playing for Munster than they are for Ireland. And there was kind of an eerie silence after he said that. And some people maybe got a little bit kind of offended at the start of it. And it was.
And did that come out in the conversation, Quinny, at the time?
Yeah, I think one or two people kind of challenged him on it and said, "What do you mean?" And he elaborated. And I think Marcus Horn was one of the people who kind of stood up and he spoke about what he meant. And that I think most of us as Munster players, it wasn't even an offence, but we didn't agree that we didn't turn up for Ireland and think that, well, Munster is more important. I would stand over that no Munster player thought it was more important at the time. There was a valid kind of, there was some credence and argument to what he was saying about maybe being more, creating more of a togetherness and more of a vibe of one goal as a group and trying to make the team, you know, more united, if you like. It wasn't that there was any sort of divides, I think, but naturally when, you know, the squad get-togethers kind of would split up and people would be moving around the hotel. You'd see Leinster players together, Munster players together in different groups. And, you know, if there was a social outing or something, I remember being in Lanzarote one Christmas and there was a call to go out for a few drinks one night after a couple of days training. And there ended up being seven Munster players in reception and one Leinster player, and that was Mal O'Kelly. And the Leinster players, a couple of them went out and had a few drinks and we went out. So it was kind of, it was more just that we needed to make more of a conscious effort to get to know each other better, to maybe talk through the rugby plan much better and maybe show that we were more united. And I think that, even though it came out and it was kind of, people raised their eyebrows to it, it was something that we laughed about afterwards. And I think it brought together the squad together a bit more, and obviously the squad went on and won the Grand Slam then a couple of months later. So
yeah, we seem to have lost Quinny there. Just a bit of a drop in his line. We get him back for you there. A few more things to talk to him about. Sort of an interesting dynamic going. That's those tables where you're sort of sat around and everybody's throwing in their 2 cents as to how this thing could go forward, and everybody's kind of filling time and you know, just saying things for the sake of saying something, and then suddenly somebody says something that rocks the existence of the team.
I think Alan, you're back with us now. Was that a real outlier at that time, Rob Kearney saying that, or were there a couple of other Leinster heads who put their head above the parapet and pointed a finger at the Munster lads?
No, they all let him take the flak for it.
But was it coming from him, Quinny, or was it because you were saying you were broken up at table, so was it like that group had come up with the point, or was it him taking a solo run?
No, I think it was a group, and I think he felt it, and he felt it needed to be said, and I think it was incredible. It was unbelievable honesty. You know, we often feel like saying things throughout our lives in different situations, and maybe we think, well, it's better left unsaid, but I think that's what Declan Kinney encouraged us, anything that was on the table or in anyone's minds, that we should bring it out now and try and iron it out. And that's what happened. So there was eyebrows raised and it was a bit of a bombshell. But I think it did make a big difference. And it wasn't as if players weren't friends with each other or didn't get on. You know, when everybody greeted, there was chats, laughs, people. It wasn't as if nobody palled around with each other or hung around with each other. But invariably, the rooming lists and stuff would be done by one or two players, and you'd end up rooming with your closest guys, or, you know, I room with Roger, Dennis Leamy was probably bucked the trend because himself and Rory Best always roomed together, but they were great pals from years before that. But most of the time, there'd be Leinster players room with Leinster players, Munster players with Munster players, I think it was something that we understood a little bit afterwards, that we needed to maybe make more of an effort and show the Leinster guys that, Ireland was incredibly important. And, you know, I only say this from a personal point of view, playing for Ireland for me was the ultimate. Obviously, you love playing for your province and winning with your province. So it created a little bit of debate, but it also created a little bit of unity, and people were more conscious of that. And we laughed and joked about it afterwards, even at dinner, that you'd come in and you'd sit down, you'd say, well, I have to go over to mix with some of the Leinster or Ulster guys or Connacht guys here. And, you know, there was people who would step up and say, am I okay sitting here now? Do we have to hold hands going around the place and all this kind of stuff? So it became a bit of a joke as well, but it was something that I think did make a difference, and it made more of a difference around guys. Players maybe going into the video room together and more consciously being, you know, united in one goal.
Yeah. One thing we wanted to ask you about, Quinny, before we let you away, they were looking at what our Irish 15 currently is, obviously on the basis of everything we've seen over the last few weeks, I suppose, specifically. Ger was making a case during the week that the midfield for the France game when the Six Nations resumes should be Farrell and Aki. That would be obviously a dropping of Henshaw and Ringrose. What are your thoughts?
It's difficult to pick. I think you got to let things settle a little bit now and see how the players perform when they go back for the Pro 14. I think you don't want a huge amount of change for the sake, because we're in a kind of a negative position, I suppose. But I think Aki will, you know, given the condition he came back in and he looked in great shape, is certainly going to be hard to shift him out of the centre. I think Henshaw and Ringrose, obviously their partnership is very experienced, but, you know, there is an argument to try and have Chris Farrell in around the team because of his physicality and his size, and he's a very skillful player as well. So the four of them will kind of go on head to head. So it's hard to kind of say that guys should be dropped now. I think maybe some change for Italy and see how it works. I think, you know, Chris Farrell did really well when he came on in that Scotland game last year at the World Cup, and there's very little between all those centres. I think the advantage of Henshaw and Ringrose is they play together regularly and they know each other inside out, but I'm not really sure. I think for me, Aki and probably Ringrose are the starters from where I see it now. But, you know, as I said, in the next couple of weeks, we'll see how the players start the new season.
Yeah, and just finally, who would be your back three then after that?
Again, it's difficult, I think, to pick. If, you know, Will Addison being out, obviously the depth at fullback is an issue. The Stockdale, is he the backup fullback? Larimer starts. You know, if Will Addison was back, maybe you put more pressure there. Matt Gallagher hasn't played for Munster, so he doesn't come into the equation. You know, Earls and Andrew Conway are probably the two wingers at the moment. I think Stockdale didn't play that well last week against Toulouse. So it just depends. Again, these are opinions. You know, Andy Farrell will have a different opinion, and he'd probably, you know, probably back Jacob Stockdale to try and find a bit of form again. But for me at the moment, it'd be Larmour, Conway and Earls.
Yeah, and you have Lowe coming into it at some point soon, obviously, as well. Which will
It's November before he's available. So I think those first two games, I don't think we'll see a huge amount of change. But I think we do need to see some change throughout the Nations Cup. You know, you play England, Georgia, Wales, and either one of Fiji, Italy or France is the fourth game. So I think there needs to be some change there. Not for the sake of it, but someone like Ryan Baird needs to play, I think. It needs to be looked at for can he step up to that level and where he's at. Dan Levy, maybe he'll come back. Caelan Dorris is someone who's been playing very well. So there's certainly a bit of room to manoeuvre there, but not for the sake of it. I think there's certain areas that are a concern. Fly half is a concern. You know, if Johnny Sexton gets injured, there's, you know, this development that's Joe Schmidt tried to do the last couple of years, bringing Jack Carty through and, you know, Ross Byrne and Joey Carberry, Billy Burns. We had four or five. Now you're kind of thinking there's only two there, really, at the moment. So there's a few concerns. Obviously, loose head prop. You know, Dave Kilcoyne is out injured. Keane Healy didn't have his best game. Furlong is out. So there's a few injury concerns and issues there that need to be sorted out. And look, hopefully get as many players as possible fit and try and get a little bit of momentum with the first games.
Good stuff. It's normally at this point, Cooney, we'd say, all right, we'll talk to you in a couple of months as the season is drawn to an end, but we'll talk to you next week.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.